been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. How's it going? 2 weeks in a row. Man, we are busy in this offseason. What's up, guys? Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
I'm good, man. How are you, buddy? I'm good.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. The Ravens are staying busy. Let's start off. Let's start it off with talking about the sad news that happened just a couple days ago. Raven Trey Walker passed away in a very unfortunate dirt bike accident. He was down in Florida. He was wearing all black. It was night. He was on a dirt bike and he went through an intersection. I guess a car didn't see him. We really don't know what happened yet, but he and a car collided. He had a lot of head trauma and unfortunately he passed away. I didn't know a lot about Trey Walker last season, but everything that I have read online and everything the Ravens have put out, players have put out, talked about what a positive guy this was and how he was such a good guy to have in the locker room and how he was so dedicated to football and to, strengthening his craft and everything. I mean, this is very tragic news for Ravens Nation, and you got to feel for the team. You got to feel for his family and of course the coaches, the staff, all of them, but man, what a loss. He was only 23. You never want to hear about something like this. This is really just a huge tragedy for his family, for Ravens, for everybody.
It is, man. And I want to prerequisite that by saying, the Trey Walker thing, how about the sad news today, man, about Brussels, man? It's a sad day around the world, and our prayers and our thoughts go out to the people involved, the victims and their families. It's very disheartening to hear, man. And I know you're the one that kind of confirmed it for me this morning. I woke up and on my Facebook feed and your post was the first one I saw. I literally just woke up and didn't know what was going on. So I'm like, as soon as I saw that, I knew something bad would happen.
Yeah.
And my worst fears were confirmed. So, and I read a little bit into it and I'm very saddened by that tragedy. And then of course, as we led the show off with our news of our own Raven passing a few days back. So it's a lot of somberness around here, man. And it just sucks. We got to deal with it this day and age we're living in. so I just wanted to read prerequisite by saying something about that.
And, this really is, if you go on like any of the NFL Reddit pages and any kind of stuff like that, all the fans, doesn't matter if you're a Ravens fan or a Browns fan or a Raiders fan or whatever team you support, everybody's, wishing their condolences or to Ravens Nation for the loss of Trey Walker and talking to, condolences to his family and everything like that. The Ravens said that they were actually going to charter a plane from BWI to Florida so the players can go down and attend the funeral for Trey Walker. And
that's awesome.
It's very nice that the Ravens are doing that. Let me ask you this, though. John Harbaugh was very popular this morning at the owners' meeting. I don't know if you saw any of the pictures that like WNST put out there, but he was swarmed by the media this morning, and he was very popular to talk to at the media breakfast. He brought up the fact that he would like to see young guys around, Trey Walker's age that are just our rookies coming into the NFL after they get done their first season to actually stay in the city where the team is located, to be a part of that team and to stay on like the schedule of being a part of a team, because these guys are getting out of college, getting out of the regimen of that they were in there, and then they play football for a season or two and then they go home. And a lot of the time, players are getting out of bad neighborhoods, they're getting out of bad situations, so when they do go home, they not that they go back into their old ways or whatever, but it would be a better environment. You know, that's why you become a football player, to better yourself, better your environment. It would be better to stay with the team and with a structured place that the league, you know, can have for you. I kind of like that Harbaugh addressed that he thinks, you know, I'm not saying that if Trey Walker would have stayed in town, this wouldn't have happened or anything like that. But I like the idea of a coach being a father figure. You know, Harbaugh was taking it very seriously of, you know, he really felt for the Walker family, and he says he's going to remember Trey on the sidelines during the anthem. You know, he would always stand next to Harbaugh for that. So he's kind of taking that responsibility on as a coach, as a parent, as in, you're still guiding these guys. These rookies are coming in and they've never been a part of the NFL. They've never been out of college, you know, so they don't know what it is to kind of have that adult life. So, and you know, to have that amount of money that you make to be an NFL player at that young of an age, there's a lot of temptation out there. I like that Harbaugh brought the fact that, you know, he could, as a coach, you can still kind of mentor these guys even off the field.
Absolutely, and I think, I mean, it just shows you that he's a coach of great stature, great ideas. And I know the Ravens were ripped in the media this week, Brandon, by posing some, you know, outrageous NFL rules, and Jim Rome of you know, ESPN, and you know, he's been a part of that media that been blasting the Ravens for doing so. But Harbaugh does bring up a good point, and I don't know if you read the letter that he wrote after the Trey Walker incident.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you that how proud I am of him having as a head coach, man. His words rang deep, and that shows, you know, evident in why he was sworn by the media and why he said what he said and brought up a suggestion like that. So I think it's a very good idea to get these guys exposure out in the world, and especially with the team environment, because, and that's why they have the rookie symposiums, and that's why they have veterans come in and teach them, and, you know, and they're supposed to have mentors and people to help handle their money, and it's just unfortunate to see some of the kids go wayward and they squander that, whether it's talent. We see evident with, you know, Will Hill and Nick Boyle, and with Martavis Bryant of the Steelers, you know, getting in trouble. All these players are always, you know, abusing some substance, violating the policies, you know, whether it's domestic disputes, everybody's still getting in trouble. And what happens is not singling anybody out here, but the fame goes to everybody's head. So you just got to keep a level head about it.
Yeah, you really do. So let's talk about the owners' meeting. You know, you brought up some of the rule changes the Ravens put out there. So there have been a lot of rule changes, but the big one coming out of today was the chop block rule, that chop blocks are now completely illegal. Not allowed to do that in any way. Harbaugh was not happy, to say the least, about that. He says if you do a chop block correctly and you don't aim for the knees, that type of thing, then no one gets hurt. The NFL sees it differently. Chop blocks are now completely illegal. How do you think this is going to affect the Ravens defense now?
It's going to affect everybody, not only the Ravens defense, but the NFL as a whole. And you just got to go around schemes now. And it's being as it may, it's becoming harder to do your job. So it's going to be an interesting, very intriguing thing to see. And I wouldn't say I'm excited about it, but it's kind of like, let's see where this takes us. But for chop blocking, it makes things a little bit difficult. I understand where they're going because of the knee injuries and all that, but again, you know, this has been talked about for a while, Brandon, and what I agree that we have to comply safety involved in rules, but my problem is, excuse me, man, I'm losing my voice, is you sign up for this thing. You know, I don't know whether players, and I know the whole concussion lawsuits, but football's been around for how long? You know, 50s, 40s. I mean, it's been around for, you know, a good amount of time. 50,
at least 50
years.
At least 50 Super Bowls.
Well, of course, at least. Well, obviously, that with the NFL championships. But it's, you know, they, again, I would like to see film or ask some. I want to really interview somebody who's really watched the league evolve. Like, watch what you call the leatherheads. You know, they wore the leatherhead helmets, but no face masks, no pads. And I want to see, did they really tackle? But you look at this. You have rugby stars that wear pretty much nothing but soccer garb, and they're out there ramming each other, like body to body. But you don't see anything regarding that. So, I mean, again, not in the media per se. So, and everybody's like, yeah, well, you can use the equipment as a weapon. Well, I mean, in this day and age, let's get real. When they're trying to outlaw guns and stuff, I'm like, anything could be a weapon. You know, going back to you know, not to, you know, do a history lesson here, but it is said Cain killed Abel with a rock. That's the first murder in human history. It doesn't matter. So whether you sign up for the NFL or not, you're going to get hurt. That's the risk you take. So whether they have to come up with a scheme and say, hey, look, guys, enough's enough. You guys sign up for this. This is what you pay for. You're paid athletes. Your job is to go out and defense. Your job is to get the ball. If the quarterback has the ball, you go tackle him. If the receiver's running with the ball, you go tackle him. The running back with the ball, you go tackle him. Your job as a defender is to defend the pass. I mean, they make so many finicky rules. I'm not an NFL player. I'm a fan. I get involved. I know the game of basketball, not football, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they should just sign up for a big risk waiver and say, enter at your own risk. It's kind of the thing, it's just the day and age we're in. But I think the chop-out rule is going to be a little bit difficult. Speaking of the other rules we have here, they're keeping the extra point there, which I love, because how many extra points were missed this year? That was a great experiment. I actually applaud the NFL for that one.
Yeah, this past year, it actually did make a difference about that extra point, whether you're going to go for it or not. In years past, you know, that was pretty much a sure thing.
And the Steelers were very prominent on going for it, and it makes sense. The percentages are there. You get the ball in the two, you get to go for two. Whether, you know, the percentages obviously are way in your favor still to make a 33-yard field goal, but we've seen them missed, and we've seen it, you know, alter team schemes, and it happens. So, but I think what they should do is if they're going to move the extra point back, they should make it to where it should be a live play. You know how it's a dead play. Like, let's say, obviously, if it gets blocked by the special teams and it gets returned, I don't know what the points are there. I don't know if the other team gets two. I have to look into that. But I think obviously, it's turnover on downs if they're kicking on fourth down. But I think if the special teams defense comes up with a stop, and let's say it's a block and it's a run back, I think that team should be awarded points. I think they should look at to that. The other rundown of the rundown of the mill here. Got the chop block, got the extra point. I'm going to read these verbatim. Basically saying that the permits, there's a rule now that's saying it permits the offensive and defensive play callers on the coaching staffs to use the coach-to-player communication system regardless of whether they are on the field or on the coach's booth. I know that's been a topic of discussion. Not as prominent as we think, but a lot of players were like, you know, where's the communication come from? A lot of times it was supposed to come from the booth up top because they had the vantage point field, but now they're changing it. No matter what the vantage point, they still allow that communication because teams need that communication freely. We have expanding the horse collar rule to include a defender that grabs a jersey at the nameplate or above and pulls the runner down. We've Ooh. Seen that evident. How many times did Aaron Rodgers get pulled down this year by that? Yeah. And it wasn't legal horse collar. So they're changing that rule where now if you yank the jersey, apparently it's a horse collar.
That's
up around like the neck, because you can choke yourself. Obviously, if you pull the jersey, I can understand it's a choking hazard, especially when you're running away from somebody. And I like Brandon, if you're running away from me and I yank you by the shirt, especially up high, it's probably going to choke you a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean that's a big rule change of all the I thought the chop block one was big one. That one might be a bigger deal.
Oh yeah, because especially and here's what's going to really piss us off as fans when we're watching games and it comes down to this kind of tackle. How about a lot of times where we see Terrell Suggs and Ravens defenders have to drag Ben Roethlisberger down by his jersey?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is going to be a big topic of discussion where if it's a crucial point of the game, we have a third down stop on a sack and there's a flag to keep a drive alive. Oh boy, this rule is going to come into scrutiny. So let's circle this one in a big red highlighter and come back to this about week two. How's that sound?
Week two, yeah, that's a good
week
idea.
Week two, because already it's going to be. I can see this being crazy. And then of course we already have three more to go through. It says make a foul or there's a foul for a delay of game when a team attempts to call a timeout when it's not permitted to do so. That's standard in every sport. Actually, in basketball, if you call a timeout and don't have any left, it's a technical foul. So. And the other team gets shots and all that mess and change possession. So it's there. I mean, baseball don't have timeouts, but it is there in other sports.
I'm for that one. That one makes sense.
Yeah, that one does make sense along with the extra point. They're eliminating the 5-yard penalty for an eligible receiver illegally touching a forward pass after being out of bounds and reestablishing himself and makes it a loss of down. So you know how it is where they run out of bounds, especially on special teams or a receiver, and they're the first one to touch it. So they're eliminating that 5-yard penalty. And another one is they're eliminating multiple spots of enforcement for a double foul after change of possession. So that one we can really read between the lines. Those are, you know, kind of vague. It is what it is. But overall, I would say I'm pleased for the couple of them. You know, a lot of them are going to come under scrutiny, especially that horse collar in the chop lock, because it happens every time. And I mean, chop locks and the horse collars are there for safety concerns, Brandon. But I think what it comes down to is they're going to happen at crucial parts of the game. And again, we can't complain about refs,
right?
You know, putting the game into refs' hands or coming down on a call, but it's got to be the right call. They can't get carried away with this, like the pass interference and the illegal contacts, and just, well, they're going to call it against us or somebody other team. But we watch Monday Night Football, and it's like, why is it Giants Cowboys game on, and why aren't they getting called for it? And I see the receivers doing the same thing that the Ravens were doing. So it's kind of like, again, we're not stupid fans. I don't know if the NFL thinks of that, but it's like, I'm there live watching games. I see everything unfold. I watch so much football when the Ravens are not on, so I can see when it's being called against us. And that's why we as Ravens fans think it's always us against the world mentality, especially when calls, and because we feel as a fan base, and especially the coaching staff with Harbaugh being Volko's organization, being that we feel like we get singled out because we get some crazy calls. But you watch Monday Night Football and it's Redskins, Giants, or Eagles, no matter who's on the TV,
right?
Well, they don't get the calls. They're not getting the calls. Steelers are doing that all night long. But then, and I hate that. If you're going to keep consistent, be consistent. I mean, I don't know about you and your work environment, but there's a consistent rule across the board. I don't care if you've been there 50 years or 5 months. Rules are rules. So I think they should implement that across the board. But again, we're human. It's human crews. Different crews, different times of day, different game. It all factors in. It just makes it, the sport element is what it is. But the rules are there, plain and simple. You can read them. They are on BaltimoreRavens.com, which I got my sources from. I'm sure NFL.com or any other NFL source does have the rule changes. Go out and read them for yourself. If what we're talking about doesn't make sense, just go back and read them, and we'll definitely cover these as the season goes on this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of changes being made, definitely going to affect the game. I'm intrigued to see how they happen. The horse collar, chop block, they're probably the biggest two to come out of there, and they're definitely going to be affecting the game big time. So, well, like you said, week two, we'll probably be talking about it, so that'll be interesting. Good news, though, Harbaugh talked about it. Crockett Gilmore only needs surgery on one shoulder, and he should be ready for OTAs. He also said Breshad Perriman should be ready by OTAs. Good news all around for that. I'm excited. I'm glad that Crockett's going to be doing better. He really was one of the bright spots of last year. So I'm excited to see him back on the field.
Me too, man. I'm very excited news that it's not a season threatening. And right now the jury's out on Breshad. Time is to put up, man. I mean, he's going in year two. He didn't really play yet. He's technically still a rookie.
Oh, no. He didn't play yet. He hasn't even practiced yet. He practiced one day.
Back it up. Yeah, he didn't even practice yet. So the jury's still out. Very excited to hear Crockett's news. I was excited to hear that. It's very good news here. Again, let's see what Breshad brings in the OTAs. The jury's still out, and a lot of judges and juries are going to be on him in spotlight, especially with the new receiving core we have. I mean, you have to be excited. If he becomes half, and I'm telling you, half the receiver that we thought he would be,
right,
it's still better than nothing, and people are laughing at me. But I was like, look, we have Mike Wallace. We have a Steve Smith coming back from one last ride here. So let's go. I mean, we got what we got, and we're going to go with what we go with. And we got a Ben Watson in place in case Gilmore doesn't really have a full recovery, or if it's still ailing him. Or, again, we have backups, so we're fine. Want to circle back. I know, like I said in the beginning of the show, speaking of players and talent, it is a sad loss for Trey Walker, man. He was a great guy, you know, special teamer. Actually got to not really meet him, but he walked past me at one point. So, So I actually got to see him. He was actually a small guy, believe it or not. But, what I hear, he's a very nice guy. And I saw Eric Weddle's tweet that year. Even Eric Weddle said it was a shame he couldn't play with him. And, you know, lost already a fellow teammate. And it's great that these guys were just signed as a Raven, and they adopted that family atmosphere and saying, you know, Mike Wallace and Eric Weddle already, and Ben Watson even, you know, saying their condolences and losing of a teammate, even though they really didn't meet him. So it's really sad. Sad young man. Special talent, 23 years old, 2 years in the league. He was going on his third year this year. Very sad to see. And you did mention this in the beginning, like it was dark, he was wearing black. And a lot of media members really got on some of the people that jumped on that, because, of course, you're getting the pros and cons and the evilness out in people and saying, well, why should we feel sorry for him? Because he was riding with no helmet, no this, no that. But I'm like, seriously? I mean, no matter how you die, you died. I mean, unless you were a terrorist, you know, killing people in Brussels, Belgium, we shouldn't feel sorry for you, obviously, because you know, deserve it. But and speaking of the terrorists, not victims, obviously. But you know, with Trey, yeah, he could have made a decision, but the fact of the matter is, the young man lost his life, and very at a point in time where he shouldn't have. So whether he inflicted that on himself or not, that's not up to us to judge. The young man, you know, got into an accident, and it's very tragic, and we need to adhere to that and respect it. You know, not blame, you know, the dirt bike, not blame, you know, no helmet, no lights, no, the car wasn't paying attention. It is what it is. You know, I mean, Dale Earnhardt died doing what he loved. Paul Walker died in a car accident, very tragic. There's a lot of people that lost their lives all of a sudden, whether they inflicted it themselves or not, whether it was a drug overdose, whether it was suicide. I mean, look at Heath Ledger, man. I mean, you can go on and on and on with sports stars and celebrities and actors and actresses and music artists who do that. Whether they're murdered, self-inflicted, a death is a death. Unless it was an act of terror, obviously, we shouldn't feel sorry for them. But again, it is what it is. I just wanted to pre-request at that because I know I didn't touch on that. And that's my two cents on the Trey Walker situation. You know, rest in peace, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was talking to somebody about this, and I hate to say this, but it seems like whenever tragedy strikes with this team, we go through adversity and we overcome. You know, Art Modell passed right before the Super Bowl year. Art Patch, Super Bowl win. Remember, I don't know if you knew this, but Jermaine Lewis lost his son, Geronimo. What does he do? Oh, he just returns another kickoff to really put the nail in the coffin for the Giants in Super Bowl 35. We lose Torrey Smith loses his brother. He comes out with a career game. And moving on from us, Brett Favre lost his father, had probably the most memorable Monday Night Football game in history. So it seems like no matter what athletes come through adversity, especially the Ravens, look what happened. We lose, you know, not of course his death, but we lose Webb and Ray Lewis to injury throughout the year, and we somehow waded through, made the playoffs. He came back. We win the bowl. So no matter what this team goes through adversity, we always come out on top. So whether – I hate to say the Ravens always use death as motivation or a player's death, but it's an inspiration. It's not a motivator. It's an inspirer, and you know that's what inspires people. We're going to – I'm sure they're going to dedicate this year to Trey.
It might not be an art patch, but I'm sure they're going to have his number, like, 25 on the back of the helmet or something. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah,
they'll probably honor him at the home opener or the preseason opener or something. I'm sure it'll be a moment of silence, and or they'll probably have his number on the sideline. I mean, it happens. So, but again, it is tragic, and not only that, but it was covered. ESPN covered it, NFL Network covered it. So it wasn't just local and Ravens news; it was national spotlight news on that, and a lot of media members had to weigh in on it.
Yeah, and no matter if it's an athlete, if it's just a normal guy on the street, you never want to see any kind of story like this. I mean, it is very tragic, and yeah, we're all football fans, but you got to think of his parents, you got to think of his family first, and the fact that, I mean, he was only 23. They lost. That's still a kid. I mean, when I was 23, I was like, all right, I'm an adult now, and this, that, whatever. But you know, you're still a kid. You're still growing. You're still figuring stuff out. So it's really sad. Sad to have that to happen to anybody, but let's talk a little bit more about Ravens news before we talk Batman v Superman. Last thing I want to bring up about the Ravens, Trent Richardson. There is an unofficial agreement that he will be joining the Ravens. The Ravens want him to get into better playing shape before officially signing him to the team. This guy's been a little bit of a draft dud, I guess. He's been around the league for a couple of years. Hasn't really played up to the potential that a lot of people thought he would. Why is this a big signing for the Ravens? Why go after another running back? I feel as if the running back situation in Baltimore, we got a lot of guys that could already fit the bill. Why sign another one?
Why sign another one? Well, you just never know. I mean, I would say you can never have too many, but with running backs being dime a dozen, we don't know with Forsett being with the injury and coming back, and with Taffer again with injuries coming back, we pretty much had Terrence West. If you really look at it.
And Buck Allen, too.
And Buck Allen. And I don't think that the Ravens were prepared to use a 6th pick in the draft to draft a running back. I don't know what the running backs look like this year. I really have to do my assessment in the next month. But I just don't think they were prepared to do that. So, and jury's out on Trent Richardson. You already know how I feel. I really don't like his play. He's been a dud since day one. The Browns drafted him very high. He hasn't performed anywhere. close to his potential. Whether he gets a career resurrection here in Baltimore, who knows? Whether he comes here and just starts running like a man possessed, who knows? I like to see it. I say, what have you done for me lately? He hasn't done anything. So let's see what happens. I mean, if it's a player to help us win, I'm all for it. If he produces, great. But right now he hasn't, so let's see what happens. I wouldn't say it's a dumb signing in the Ravens. Anybody to help us right now, it helps. So let's see what happens.
He could at least, I guess, be a practice squad guy, but it all depends on how much he wants it right now, because right now he's not in playing shape, and they haven't officially signed him. They've agreed. They've kind of had – this is like a handshake that, hey, you get into shape, we'll sign you to the team. But right now it's all pretty much unofficial. So we'll see what happens with him. I thought it was a little weird to have a running back signed, given the fact that we do have four guys that could potentially be the starter there. But, I mean, I guess we'll see what happens when it comes closer to the season. Or who knows if he'll even be a part of the team at then. I mean, it's just
right.
Just a gentleman's agreement at this point. So
you got it, man.
I think that's pretty much it for Ravens talk. But this weekend, big weekend, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice comes out. You and I, we already have our tickets. We are ready to go. We're seeing it Saturday morning.
Thanks to you.
How excited are you for this movie? Because I am a huge Batman fan. I am not one of those people that heard Ben Affleck was playing Batman and freaked out and was like, how could you do this? I was so excited to see Batman and have Ben Affleck be Batman and to finally see Batman and Superman on the same screen for the first time. Officially, you know, it was kind of teased at I Am Legend, but officially on screen, this is a huge deal.
Very huge deal, man, and I'm right with you. Don't get me stuck on my high horse, and I'll talk us all for another 10 minutes on the podcast about my feelings about people who hate Ben Affleck for being picked as Batman, Superman. My whole thing is, he's an actor. He's a multi-million-dollar actor. He's been in great movies. Who are you to pick him apart? I didn't know people were such movie critics, nor do I understand that people were professional actors who knew how it is. He's earning the money. He got picked for the role. You didn't. Sucks to be you. Ha. You're going to watch it regardless, so those people, they don't know anything because they're going to pay to see it anyway. It is what it is. But anyway, I'm very excited to hear about this movie coming out this week. It's been a long time coming. Ever since the hype and the filming and the production, I've been counting down. And we're 4 days away, 3 days essentially, or actually 2 days if you look at it, if you go see it Thursday night. I wasn't planning to. The being that I didn't want to have to – I'm glad we're going Saturday morning, only for the purposes of I'm glad we got a reserve seating, but I just didn't want to be out with the hoopla. I didn't want to be out, and I hate to say this, but we're living in this day and age, but I didn't want to go out Thursday night and be some loony bin causing trouble. Plus, I didn't want to go out at midnight being almost a three-hour movie, getting out at 3 a.m., having to go back into work.
We're old now, man. We can't do that anymore.
Well, I do it anyway. I think 2 weeks ago, I pulled an all-nighter. So, because of daylight savings time, I actually pulled an all-nighter that weekend. So I didn't sleep for like 30 hours straight. So
you are a madman.
I am a madman. I would do it, but the problem is I wouldn't want to take a vacation or sick or personal day just because I saw a movie until 3 o'clock in the morning. So yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to waste my days. I'm very smart with it. You got to make adult decisions. So I'm like, look, comes out Saturday. I did the same thing with Star Wars. I waited a week later, saw Star Wars the following weekend with my brother. When he came into town, we saw it on a Saturday afternoon. It was fine. It is what it is. I've always joked and said that when this movie came out, I'd be in line on Thursday night. Whether it was the 8 o'clock showing at midnight and be seeing it for the first time with everybody else. But you know what? What's 2 days later? I'm still going to see it opening weekend. I already got our tickets. Probably not going to be the first time I've seen it because, like we said, I'm highly disappointed because this movie, is going to be out in the big format. So I'm probably going to go see it again. But at that point, I'll probably go get the big format and see how the difference is. But I really can't wait regardless. Big screen, little screen, small screen. We're still seeing on the big screen, and we're going to be there with no worries with our reserve seating. So I'm very excited, man.
Yeah, I saw Star Wars at the Smithsonian, so I saw it in the true IMAX screen the first time. I would have liked to have seen this in IMAX, but with it being opening weekend, it was IMAX 3D, and it was hard to find, since it is Easter weekend, it was hard to find a time that worked for us and everything. But this Saturday morning...
Easter changes too much, man.
It's way too early this year. I hate it
this
early.
Well, it's never set. I don't understand Easter. It's like... It's never set. It's like the second weekend of April. I usually thought it was always Masters weekend, which is technically 2 weeks from this weekend. So I'm like, why is it 2 weeks early? So I never knew. That's why when we were, this weekend was Palm Sunday and next week Easter, I'm like, Easter dinner Sunday? What? Like, it's not even April yet. It's not even O's opening day yet. Let's chill for a minute. Like,
yeah.
Usually Easter happens after Orioles played their first home opener, but whatever. I don't make the holidays. don't know.
Yeah. So let's talk about Batman v Superman, what we think is going to happen. We really, like, no one's really talking about the plot of the movie. We've seen trailers for it and all that kind of stuff. Of course, we know there is going to be an epic battle between Superman and Batman. But what I've gathered from the trailers and analyzing the trailers and watching a bunch of YouTube videos of people theorizing, like, what's going to happen, it looks as if Lex Luthor is going to be staging this fight, that he's going to have... He's trying to get Batman and Superman to go against each other, and it looks like Batman and him are actually going to work together, because if you look at one of the trailers, Batman blocks a shot from Superman and actually blocks him, so that has to say kryptonite is a part of that armor that he has. And who's got the kryptonite? Lex Luthor has kryptonite. So I think, like, the two of them work together at first, and that might start the first fight in between the two of them, but then, you know, we realize how crazy Lex Luthor is. And I think the second trailer gave away too much, because we see this new creature jump out of a building and land in the parking lot and have these big glowing eyes, and a lot of comic book fans are saying that's Doomsday from the comics. I'm not a comic book guy, so I don't know who that is, but I feel as if they gave away the big bad in the trailer, and I don't know if I wanted to know that Doomsday was in it just yet. But it looks like at the end of it, Batman and Superman will be working together with Wonder Woman and will be going up against this Doomsday character. So that's my prediction. We get a big fight.
It all sets up for the League. I mean, it's called Superman, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. So it sets up for the beginning of the Justice League.
Yeah.
I think what I saw the backstory, I mean, the comics depict a lot of different scenarios, especially with depending on what series you read. But my theory is, you know, Superman destroys some of Batman or Bruce Wayne's buildings.
Yeah, we saw that in Man of Steel.
Exactly. So what's that?
We saw that in Man of Steel.
Remember that, yeah. So I think they're playing on that storyline where he destroys, and then like what he says in the preview, they bring the war to us, or he brought the war to us. So I think it's, you know, and then they find out each other's identities, and then they just start warring, and then, of course, Batman's kind of like, hey, I beat you, now let's join up and join the Justice League. And that's why you see Wonder Woman and, of course, Aquaman and Doomsday, because it's all ties into the story. And I've actually read earlier screenings that people have said. They said they raved about it, loved it. No, of course, no one really hated it. It's Batman, Superman, how can you not? This movie is going to be epic. Tons of action. It's Batman, Superman. I really can't wait to see it. And you're probably going to hear me scream during the movie, because I love Batman. Like, I've been watching, again, you know, other than the Ravens, you can hear my passion. I love talking about Batman. I probably could do a Batman podcast very simply. Because literally, believe it or not, there's a lot to know about Batman in like the psychological portion of that story. So it's, I mean, you can just go do the research for yourself, man. But I'm very excited to hang out with you this weekend and go see it. I really can't wait, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, early screenings have been raving about it. I follow a website called BatmanNews.com. They said this is the best Batman since The Dark Knight. They're saying in all of the Batman movies, Dark Knight is still number one, but this comes in a close second. And everybody, like, as we know, Batman Superman's going to be fun or whatever. Everyone's raving about Wonder Woman, and Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman this time around. She was in the Fast and Furious movies, in the later ones. I think she was in 5 and 6, if I'm not mistaken. But I think she looks great in the Wonder Woman costume. She's a very good actress. She was great in Fast and Furious. I'm excited to see her version of Wonder Woman, because everybody's saying she stole the movie.
That's what I've been hearing, and I really can't wait to see that performance. And I think this movie was cast very well from what I've seen in the previews. And I don't know if you watched Gotham, but they had an extended preview on Monday night during Fox's Gotham series. So again, I really can't wait to really see how that story plays out. But I did hear that as well, Brandon. She was perfectly cast for the role.
Now, also, I'm intrigued to see how Aquaman gets involved here, because he's supposed to be introduced in this movie. I'm hearing rumblings that the Flash is going to be introduced in this movie as well. I don't know if it's just going to be something real quick, just like a word in a newspaper or something like that, but supposedly the Flash is being introduced somehow in this movie. Like you said, this is the launch for the Justice League. Just like Marvel has the Avengers, DC has the Justice League, and we're going to get into those movies next, but I'm excited for this weekend. I'm excited to see Batman v Superman. I think it's going to be fun. I've never seen a Batman like this, with the crazy amounts of armor and all that kind of cool stuff, and this is the oldest Batman we've ever seen, and it seems as if he's been fighting for a long time, and this, he's a little bit colder. I guess, than a lot of Batmans we've seen in the past.
I love it, man. They said it was going to be dark, and hopefully the sequels are even darker.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. I think you and I should do a podcast right after the movie, like a quick review of it, and I think it'll be a lot of fun this weekend. So,
of course, man.
Do you think did we miss anything? Did we cover everything?
We covered this to the max, man.
All right, very cool. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I about the Ravens or about Batman v Superman, all you got to do is tweet to us. We are both on Twitter. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash as well as Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new episode comes out, you'll be the first to know. We always are posting cool videos and photos and news articles and all that kind of good stuff over on the website or on our Facebook page. Now, guys, you listen, you stream, and you download this completely for free. We do this show for free. We have no sponsors. We have no corporations behind us. We're just two dudes who enjoy the Ravens and we enjoy talking about it. So we are asking for you guys to please help us out and spread the word about The Call. So let people know, be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope. Anywhere you are social on the web, say I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. It's the off season, but we're still talking Ravens football. I listen to The Call and you should too. Write us an iTunes review. Again, we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. So that is pretty much it for The Call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, my friend. And it's going to be a great, great, interesting weekend. And we cover a lot. And everything puts things in perspective. I mean, we cover, this team through and through, thick and thin, tragedy and triumph. And what it comes down to is we're very passionate in what we do around here. And, if anything, content, we always like to hear it from listeners. And if there's anything that you guys, because we're the podcast for the people, by the people, for the people. So we definitely want to hear what you guys have to say. So if there's anything you want to cover, if you like to, maybe throw out a topic of the week, or if you guys, think of anything out there that we, you want our opinions and input, we'll do a show about it, man. And that's what we're here for. And I think this was put some things in great perspective to set up here, and we're definitely going to be covering the draft here in the next month. And the schedule release comes out, so we definitely got some exciting things for us coming up here. Really can't wait to see. And now, with that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.